The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The following program was pre-recorded, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
Get ready to take notes, because school is now in session. Tackling the biggest issues in education, this is Education America. Save the classroom, save the country. Here are your hosts, Headmaster Rebecca Hagstrom and co-host Abigail Johnson.
Hey, teacher, leave the kids alone.
Welcome to Education America, where we're working to save the classroom so that we can save the country. K-12 education is the playing field where the battle is on for the future of our country. And as the 16th president, Abraham Lincoln, succinctly stated, the philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. Well, we are looking forward to our show tonight, right, Abigail?
Yep, watching that quote play out in real time.
We
right now.
Sure are. We say that every single week because it becomes more and more real and concerning every week, it seems. But we are looking forward to welcoming a couple of board members. Board candidates, and I'm going to let you go ahead and introduce the two.
So we have some fantastic guests with us this evening. We will be chatting with them over the next 2 weeks, so our listeners can look forward to next week as well, as we get to put a spotlight on some of these women who are not just complaining about education. They are doing something personally to try to move it in a positive direction. They are doing what we always advocate for on this show, which is advocating for their kids and getting involved in their community. Mm-hmm. So we would love to introduce our first candidate, Teresa, who is running for school board. All
in
of these women
ISD
are
196,
yep,
right?
So all these women are coming from the south end of the Twin Cities, ISD 196, and I'll let each of them kind of describe their particular district because it's unique to as each one of them mm-hmm. are. So, mm-hmm. Teresa, welcome to our show tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Teresa.
Well, I am a mom of two. They're both in high school as of this year. I grew up in Apple Valley. I graduated from Apple Valley High School. So it's really important to me that I continue to stay involved in the district and know what's going on with my kids. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to be here. Thank
mm-hmm.
you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep, and it sounds like you have a little background in business and leadership coaching, and mm-hmm. you have a master's in organizational leadership from St. Mary's University of Minnesota, which to me seems like important details to be able to note when you're sure. running for a candidate seat like that. And then it says also that you're a youth sports coach and former Athletic Association baseball director. So, wow, you were a busy person, weren't you? Both,
I still am.
You still are, right?
Yeah.
Why is it always the busy people that still want to add more things to their list yeah. of things to do, right? But it seems to be often the case that it's the busy people that are running for office and doing things like this. But good for you. Well, why don't you start by telling us a little bit about what's driving you to want to run for the open school board seat?
Sure.
How many seats are there open? Four seats. Okay. So we're going to be interviewing all four candidates that are interested in these four seats and over the course of this week and next. So, okay, go ahead. So what's causing you to want to run?
Well, as you mentioned, I have always been really, really involved in the district with my kids. Starting in kindergarten, I've been on the site council for all the schools that they've been in, elementary, middle, and high school now. And very involved in the youth sports, but I have noticed a change in the way that, you know, my kids are coming home and telling me about what they're working on and the things they can and cannot say, their level of comfort with the teachings and some of the way that, frankly, even the children are behaving in school now. Mm-hmm. And so I really wanted to dive deeper on what's going on with the board and why they're making the decisions they're making. Wasn't terribly comfortable with it, and then decided it was probably my time to put my name in the ring if I really wanted to see some change.
Yeah, well, good for you. That's great. And one of the things that we'd love to hear from you, and I think our listeners and your constituents would want to hear, is if elected, what would be your primary focus?
Oh, yeah. So first and foremost, it's academics. And I think you'll find that all of us feel the same way. They're declining significantly in the state. And they didn't start declining as of COVID. They were already declining.
Right.
So I think that's
important
to call
out. I'm glad you're making
that point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they plummeted certainly during COVID because our kids didn't have the support they needed. But that is our number one priority, is to really increase those test scores and the, you know, the success of our students and their academics, their core academics, I should say. Mm-hmm. Things that are really the priority for them to be successful adults. And then my second biggest concern or focus would be parent involvement and transparency. Mm-hmm. So I am really, really involved in this school district, and I'm still surprised sometimes by, you know, what they're talking about and what they're doing in school. And I look at the syllabuses, I get to know the teachers, and the teachers, you know, the majority of them are amazing, really. And I want to make sure I say that too, because this isn't necessarily about the teachers. but that would be my second part. I really feel like if parents are more involved and they understand what's going on in the schools, a lot of this, nonsense, I guess, would probably clear up. If parents knew what was going on, and I find that when I'm having conversations with parents in the district, they have no idea. Mm-hmm. They're shocked. We had an event yesterday, and there were parents there that are, you know, think similarly, and they were shocked by some of the things they were learning. And then lastly, it would be safety.
Wait, before you go on to that next one, are the kids not coming home and talking about it with their parents? Do you think that's it? Are they so indoctrinated at this point that they don't realize there's a problem with what they're hearing or learning at school, and so they're not going home and saying something to their parents? Or why do you think that parents are still so in the dark about what's actually being taught?
Well, I think you nailed it. That's one reason. You know, if parents aren't talking about their values at home and their concerns and making sure that their kids are aligned with that, they're not going to realize that what the school is doing doesn't feel good. Mm-hmm. And so they're not going to come home and talk about it. And the other thing is that generally, I would say the general population trusts the schools to do the right thing for the kids. So unless they're aware and educated on what's going on, they're going to continue to blindly trust. And that's not to say that the people in the schools, running the schools, aren't amazing people. And because a lot of what they have to teach right now is coming down from the state. So they don't have a choice. But I think the more that parents speak up and the more active that parents are, the more we can push back. Yes.
Good. Okay, so that was your second point, the transparency piece. And then you were about to start on another point that you would like to really focus on if you get elected.
Yeah. So, and I will add, with the transparency piece, it's also for the community, making sure they're aware of where the dollars are being spent. The district is really, really good at putting out, you know, 100 plus page PowerPoint to talk about the different, you know, things they'd like to do with the money, but we don't ever really see a breakdown of how that money is actually spent. But then safety. And I will probably hand the reins over to one of the other candidates to speak about that in more detail, because she's more of an expert in that.
Okay.
But our my kids, the teachers, the staff, everybody needs to feel safe at school. And I want to feel confident that my kids are going to be safe at school. And I don't feel confident, especially with the SRO stuff that's happening at the moment.
Yes. Why don't you describe, because not all the listeners know exactly what that is. So you're talking about the resource officers.
Yeah, school resource officers. They're being restricted, and they, again, I don't know all the legalese behind it, but essentially districts, police officers and police departments are pulling out of schools because they are liable for, you know, handling children now, or anybody, frankly. And it's not just SROs. Any adult in the school is restricted. And, you know, if there's a fight, they can't do what they need to do necessarily to make sure that that fight stops. Mm-hmm. And it puts the officers at risk of losing their job, mm-hmm. and the district is liable. So it's kind of an ugly situation, mm-hmm. but I know that people are pushing back.
Yeah. So this is recent legislation that mm-hmm. just got passed.
Yes.
And I believe
they just did a bang-up job with it. Yeah. Real good job, guys, and down there at St. Paul.
And seriously, I mean, this is a serious issue.
Yes.
And there are now letters going out in every single district.
Yep.
From police departments.
Egan has pulled their SROs.
Saying, sorry, we have to pull.
Edina has pulled their SROs.
Pretty much
everyone.
I think pretty much every district, mm-hmm. if they haven't yet, mm-hmm. They will be as a result of this legislation. This, in light of the fact that we had a stabbing at a high school, yep. in St. Paul, and we hear frequent fights breaking out. We hear frequent stories of people feeling threatened when they go mm-hmm. to the bathroom. And yet, this is a time when, well, we're going to just call it out, when the Democrats decided that this was a good time to pull any amount of safety that we could actually keep mm-hmm. in the schools. Mm-hmm. And that legislation was passed by the trifecta in St. Paul. So yeah. It's good that you're talking about that, because I think, again, most parents are probably not even aware that the resource officers are getting pulled, or that the rules have changed, which means even how a teacher or how a principal handles those situations, it's going to be different. Mm-hmm. And then, yes.
So the thing that does need to happen is there needs to be a special session that needs to be called. That is what needs to happen.
To reverse this.
Mm-hmm. So they need to basically fix the legislation that was passed last year that has gone into effect that caused this situation. It's been, I believe, 3 weeks, and mm-hmm. Governor Walz did meet with some of the heads of police council and things like that this week. Nothing has yet been changed, but we would encourage everyone to make a phone call, send mm-hmm. an email to your local representative saying, go back to St. Paul and fix this yep. so that we can keep our kids safe.
Yeah, yeah. So another thing that we've noted about you, Teresa, is that you're known to be a champion for the community. And maybe you could elaborate on that for us just a little bit
okay.
for our listeners.
I mean, I think we talked about it a little bit already, but I have coached numerous sports for my kids, and I tend to just put myself out there even if I don't know uh-huh. what I'm doing. Uh-huh. And I kind of wrap myself around the kids or the adults that, you know, can coach me to coach them better.
Yeah.
I love that. A risk taker in the sense that I want to be support for the kids and, mm-hmm. you know, for the community.
Mm-hmm.
I was
great.
The director of Eastview Athletic Baseball for okay. 4 years, or part of the board for 4 years.
Okay.
I'm heavily involved in my church. Okay. I'm a leader there. So, yeah, I do. I'm a little bit of everywhere.
Yep.
Still am. I don't coach as many sports now that mm-hmm. my kids are in high school, mm-hmm. but. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I heard her mention she wants us to do a push-up contest after.
Yeah.
Oh, you did, huh? Oh, I didn't hear that one, Abigail.
Yeah. No, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure I heard it. Let's do it. Let's do it.
I might have been able to actually compete with you before I broke my foot. But since not working out very
that
often
boot
since
is,
I broke.
That boot is off.
Today.
It's
just
I know,
today.
So it's off. So we can do it.
What the
Give
problem
me a
is.
Little time. You know you use your arms in push-ups, right?
I do, but you still have to bend your toes. When you do push-ups, my dear. I don't put my knees down
okay.
like you maybe do.
All right, fine, Teresa. I'm sorry. We're going to have to postpone the push-up
okay.
contest.
That's all right.
All right, Teresa, it's really great. Do you have any last comments that you'd like to make before we switch over to talking with one of your cohorts, Michelle?
No, I really appreciate you having us here and helping us get the word out that we are, you know, championing for the kids. And we could use all the help we can get getting our names out.
Yes,
so thank
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. We're happy to have you on. Very happy.
Yeah.
All right. So then Melissa. I just called you Michelle.
That's
Sorry
okay.
about that, Melissa.
That's okay.
Got the M right.
Yes.
So why don't we ask you the same question? You know, can you tell us what's driving you to run for an open board seat? And then we'll also get some of your background information in as well.
Sure. Yeah. So my name is Melissa Field. I decided to run for school board because I had the opportunity after looking for a career change. I started working for the Senate, and it really opened up my eyes to
We have some stories then.
On how things really work. And mm-hmm. I made the decision, you know, I needed to stay involved in my community. Mm-hmm. I was seeing the demeanor change in my son. He's a senior at one of the schools in the district. Mm-hmm. After asking him, you know, what's up, what's going on at school, finding out, you know, it's difficult to learn mm-hmm. because of what's going on in the classroom and what have you. That it kind of pushed me to say, you know what, this is how I continue staying involved in my mm-hmm. community. Mm-hmm. So that's really why I decided to run.
Now, is he your only or your last one or something? That's so he's a senior this year?
Correct.
Or, okay. Yep. Okay. And do you mind sharing some specific changes that he was seeing in the classroom that made it more difficult for him to learn?
Sure. Well, it started with the bathrooms getting locked during the school day. So just simply not being able to use the restroom was an issue. And it was because of kids doing things in the mm-hmm. bathroom that they shouldn't be. There's the property damage issues, thousands of dollars of property damage from, you know,
vandalism. Between,
yes, mm-hmm. just vandalism in general. Okay. The skipping classes and doing things that you shouldn't be doing in the bathrooms. Mm-hmm. And then it turned into behavioral issues in the classrooms where the teachers are then forced to take care of those issues mm-hmm. instead of teaching like mm-hmm. they should be. So, mm-hmm. and it just, it really deterred, you know, from the purpose of being in school.
For the kids who really want to be there to learn.
Exactly.
Okay, this seems like a really practical question, but so what do they do if they have to use the restroom? Do they have to go get a teacher to unlock it for them?
Right, which can be...
Oh, my goodness. I mean,
for that can be embarrassing,
right? For
all
the kids in that building?
Yeah.
They have to go unlock it for them. Mm-hmm. How do they ever have time to teach?
Right, and there's a very minimal time in between passing and classes, or between classes, you know.
Yeah. So. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, that seems like some very concerning things, and it makes sense that you would want to get involved and try to improve things for kids coming up,
right,
even though your son's graduating this mm-hmm. year. And so what would be your primary focuses that you'd like to focus on?
Sure. So as a retired police officer, safety is my number one priority that I think we need to focus on. Mm-hmm. And that... It's not just the big safety aspect that I think pops into a lot of parents' heads, the perimeter safety of the school. I think what we really need to focus on is what happens in the classroom, mm-hmm. kind of like what I had already touched base on.
Yeah.
And that has a lot to do with the teachers being able to focus on teaching. Mm-hmm. And that has to do with allowing them to be the adults mm-hmm. in the classroom. The state has taken away their ability, literally handcuffed them mm-hmm. to be the adults mm-hmm. By imposing this non-exclusionary rule. I don't know if you've heard about it.
Yeah, but I think it's good for you to elaborate on that.
Sure. So essentially what they've done is they've said in an effort to not exclude any child mm-hmm. for whatever reason, in an effort for DEI.
Mm-hmm. Diversity, equity, inclusion.
Right, mm-hmm. exactly. Something that should have been good, they have turned it 180 degrees and just turned it into a three-headed monster and said, well, we just won't do anything at all. Mm-hmm. That's how I see it, at least.
So basically, we're not going to discipline
right.
because we don't want to offend any child that may be acting out because of their cultural differences or what have you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so then that means there really isn't any discipline happening.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that's caused a huge rift in mm-hmm. the classroom, because not only are those children that need to have those consequences to show that the teachers are in charge, because we all know kids need to have boundaries. They need to know that there's rules, accountability, mm-hmm. because kids strive on that. They mm-hmm. they really do.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they thrive. Yeah.
Yes, they strive for that.
It gives them a sense of safety when they can even if the kiddos even the kiddos that are struggling. And so my kids are on the younger end of things, and so they still do love to push those boundaries. It's mm-hmm. so fun. Mm-hmm. But you know, you can see they're testing. Like, if I push here, what will happen? And then if I push over here, what will happen. And but it gives, you know, when they sense, oh, mom and dad, they're really serious about that. Like, mm-hmm. I should probably stop doing that after a while. But it gives them that sense of safety of, no, really, this is your boundary. You know, these are our family values, whatever it is. And nope, you'll run right up into it. We won't let you get further. And I do think that we've really, just as a society, misconstrued the heart behind discipline.
Yeah.
You know, it's not to to punish and provide harshness. It's to give a sense of safety.
Right.
Of really, the adults are in charge. But the teacher is able to take care of this. So then they know, oh, so I can just be a kid.
Right.
I don't have to manage all of this on our own.
Well, not to mention that that's what's going to prepare them for adulthood. Mm-hmm. So if they don't learn it in school, and it's because some kids aren't learning it at home, let's be fair. Right. Mm-hmm. But if they're not learning it at school, then these kids are not likely to be able to make it in society because they are going to have so many antisocial behaviors that they're not going to be able to hold down a job, much less even actually, I should say, they're not going to be able to get a job, much less hold it down if they do get it. And so it's really important that kids are taught kind of the as you say, how to be an adult. Right. Okay. Well, I like the fact that you want to focus on that. I think that's a very laudable goal. Are there some other changes that you would like to see implemented if you were to be elected, Melissa?
Yeah. So I think it's really important. There's this message going around that for some reason folks are offended that there's people concerned that we believe that there isn't enough transparency. Mm-hmm. And I think the important thing to keep in mind is that during COVID, there were some aspects that were brought to light that parents were able to see into the classroom that they hadn't really had the opportunity to see before. And some questions were raised. And when a parent has a question about their child's learning, it would be reasonable to say, hey, I would like an answer to that. And when those questions aren't getting answered, well, why? You know,
and then, they should be asking why.
Right. And it shouldn't, when those questions are asked, it shouldn't be taking weeks or months to get those answers. And that's what has been happening. So I think having transparency, especially when everything is digital these days, I mean, the kids literally walk around with textbooks in their fingertips and in a computer. There's no reason why when a parent has a question that it shouldn't be answered almost immediately.
And when it's not, of course, what does that do for the parent? That raises a red flag, of course. And they're thinking, what are they trying to hide? What are they scrambling to do in the background here before they answer me? Are they changing some policies so that they can tell me an answer that they want to be able to give me? There's a lot of things that goes through a parent's head when it takes weeks or even months to get responses.
Well, to be fair, I think that there's been a monumental shift in the mentality, and I can only speak for myself. So, but regarding those in authority, and I think, you know, I attended public school, had a relatively good experience. I understand. I mean, great teachers, all of the above.
Hardworking.
But I think because of my legal background, because of my background in public policy and time in government, you learn to read between the lines. You learn to identify the squishy language, like, oh, I could take that word and make it mean anything I want it to, which means they are too. And again, I just think, well, most normal people don't think like that just because that's not their particular path in life that they've walked. But then I think post-COVID, what has been a lovely, you know, thing that has come out of that is people are more willing to question, even if they don't necessarily have certain background information. They trusted, well, if the teacher said X, then I believe them. And in many cases, that's correct, but sometimes it's not. And I love that parents are willing to ask more questions and they're willing to read those documents more critically and go, wait a minute.
Well, just this, like you're
opening. I should be able to have this information about my child. So, but again, you know, we so appreciate people in the community that are putting in their time and effort because a lot of families are, you know, working bare minimum two jobs, and they're trying to do sports for their kids, or they're trying to just get their darn lawn mowed or whatever it is. And, you know, that takes, it takes a lot of time. And so it's always so encouraging to meet, you know, people that are willing to say, okay, I, this is how I can help.
And it sounds like that's something that you want to do. And, you know, you talked about digging in and learning more. And I know the two of you that we have on the show today, and then we're going to have two more on the show next week, have really spent a lot of time even on your district website, digging in and reading. And, you know, to your point, Abigail, there is some squishy language that you're finding when you dig into that. And so I'm guessing that one of the things that you want to be able to do if you are elected is to bring some of that out. You know, when you talk about transparency, the website might be a good place to start. Like, what do we mean by this? And are we really being forthright with our families over what this really means? What are some of the, we only have a couple of minutes here, and I just want you to be able to have the floor to be able to talk about the things that you feel are important for people to hear. Do you have some things that you'd like to share with our listeners, Melissa, with regards to your platform or what you'd like to see change beyond the safety? Your focus, obviously, is safety and transparency, which is great. Sounds like you guys kind of have a team here where if you can both get elected, one can help with the transparency, one can help with more of the academic piece of it and getting that back up to par, hopefully. But do you have any other thoughts that you'd like to share?
Sure. I think what's important is that, you know, our district, it's not the worst. There's, I mean, we are doing better than the average state score right now, which is good. However, I want to caution people, you know, in my past job, complacency was always drilled into our head that it's not, complacency kills, to be to be frank. And I think this is really where we're finding ourselves right now. The scores have been stagnant. They have not been, I mean, they've just been budged up just a little bit this last cycle.
That's probably just compared to what it was during COVID.
Right. Exactly. And there's, and it should be much better.
Right.
You know, so I think we found ourselves in a state of complacency right now because we are better than the state average. And I think that's just okay for some people and it shouldn't be. We're still below, way below what we're, what we should be at, and there's room for improvement. The current school board, they can be doing better, and we will be doing better when we're elected.
That's fantastic. All right. Well, listen, we are so glad that you could join us tonight, Teresa, and I keep wanting to call you Michelle. I'm so
Melissa.
You can ask Abigail how good I am at remembering names. Some people say, oh, she's amazing. And some people say, ah, no, actually not. So I have a lot of people to remember. But anyway, Melissa and Teresa, we are really glad that you joined us today. And what I'm hearing you say is that you don't want kids to just survive. You want them to thrive.
Yes.
And that is an important way for people to remember the two of you tonight. And if you have a website, you want to very, very quickly speak into the microphone for people to look at?
Yes.
Facebook page?
MelissaField4196.com.
All right. And Teresa?
Sure. It's Schleter, which is my last name and complicated, S-C-H-L-U-E-T-E-R-4-I-S-D-196.com.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you so much, ladies, for joining us.
Thank you.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.